And a news update for December 2nd, 2022 on this Friday afternoon edition. Hour number four starts next. Broadcasting on two syndicated networks, that's Sirius XM and Terrestrial Satellite News Radio Networks. Beaming to you through all the interwebs at anchor.fm, Stitcher, also Spotify.fm, Apple Podcasts, Google Casts, Pandora, and iHeartRadio, and many more. The podcast name is Top Headlines National and International News Stories. You can find us there at those places or your preferred player by simply typing that in your browser or player. Make sure to add us to your favorite or follow us so that when a new episode gets aggregated to your allocated to your queue, you can listen to us when at your leisure. Or when you want to. That's the difference in live radio. Or you can hear us on XM or terrestrial news satellite networks.
How can you have a strong Christian group?
All right, hour number four hitting your way next.
Black stylist for Balenciaga since 2014. She has deleted her Instagram account since the scandal hit. But archived images show a dark appreciation for child abuse. Images of violent pedophilia, child torture, child disembowelment, Satanism, and cannibalism. Many of these images are appreciated by her rich and famous designer friends, Gosha Rubchinsky and Marc Jacobs, both accused of peddling pedophilia in their own work. A recent video shows what appears to be fake babies sold in blood-spattered Balenciaga swag.
What's in your bag?
In my bag? That's top for me.
Like, can we do what's in your bag?
Yeah, can we do what's in the bag, please?
Do I hold it for you and you can take the things out?
Excuse me. Yeah. Look, it's like when she starts to cry. Like, then when she's gonna pee, I don't know. Then when she's boring,
she's boring.
Yeah, everything was good.
Right as the Balenciaga scandal goes viral, Hollywood actress Nicole Kidman, who was recently glamorizing eating bugs, proudly releases her own Balenciaga ad on Instagram. From what we are learning about these people, it seems strange for us to put our faith in any single one of them. And by all appearances, this wasn't an accident. It seems to be another demoralizing psyop.
The Balenciaga stuff just gets worse and worse. Check this out.
The people that recruited all of the models for Balenciaga's runway show was a woman called Rachel Chandler, who has been on Jeffrey Epstein's island. She's even posted a picture on Instagram of CCTV footage back in 2013, bragging about being on an island.
This stuff's got me wondering if all high-end fashion brands are just fronts for human trafficking. So most of us know by now that Balenciaga got themselves canceled by having BDSM bears photographed with children. The same style bears were featured in one of their last runway shows, which was held in a mud pit, as if the brand weren't disgusting enough. But who opened for the show? Yeah, Kanye West was pretty close with Balenciaga before they got canceled for that last photo shoot. Kanye's been all over the place for years. Everybody knows that. I'm sure he's been through a lot. I feel for him, but let's keep our eyes open, yeah?
It's a very small club, and yet the majority of us still seem to obsess over them, like royalty, which begs the question, do we have any power? And if we someday find that we do, what are we going to do about this evil? Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Okay, there's something there.
It's almost like we got Yay here. The whole building is just crazy. Alex Jones here, back live with Yay. Nick Fuentes riding shotgun, and we're going to get Laura Loomer on the line. He didn't want to wear an earpiece. That's fine. We're going to call her on his phone in like 10 minutes or so. So we'll get to you, Laura. But he wants to get her on, so that's great. We'll get her on. Yay. Let me bring up, since you guys want to get on this topic, the meeting with Trump. They're not using it against Trump. They're misrepresenting who Nick is. And I think that's fair to say. And they're lying about you, and they're trying to make it the new reason that DeSantis should be the 2024 front runner. And I like DeSantis in many ways, but I don't like who he's aligning with, all these big donors, and him playing along with this. It's very troubling. So tell us about the meeting and what really happened there.
Nick, you have the minutes on it.
That's right. So it's where to begin. Well, I want to set the record straight, first of all, because there was a big piece in NBC the other day written by Mark Caputo with a lot of lies about the dinner. And I don't know if people were misquoted or if bad quotes were given, but people are being led to believe that this was somehow a setup or an ambush to make the president look bad. That's not true. Ye loves Trump. I love Trump. We came to the dinner to have a discussion with him and have a discussion with him about the 2024 race. Ye had a proposition for him. And so a lot of it was really put together in the last minute. I didn't even really know until I was at Mar-a-Lago whether or not we would be at the dinner. It was something that Ye and I discussed on the flight there and on the car ride over. So I just want to get that cleared up straight away, because I think Ye and I both believe that Trump is a great option. It really just comes down to Trump and Ye for the most
part. But them trying to premeditatedly claim it was some secret meeting and he knew he was meeting with you, that's not true.
No, yeah, and it was surprising because we had this conversation the day before we flew out. We were in LA on that Monday, and I was told it may not even be possible for you to get into Mar-a-Lago. They said, because there's so many people that will intercept you. There's a guest list and you have to be on it, and there's a security list and all these things. So I was told that I may not even be able to get through. Well, we pulled up to the club. They checked out Ye. They checked out Karen's ID and information. We drove up. We walked in. We sat down in the lobby. The president came out of the dining room, and that was that. He invited Ye to dinner, and I don't know if it was Ye or Trump, but one of them said, well, we want to bring Jamar, Karen, and Nick into the dining room. And so we came in, we sat down. Well, we took some pictures. Ye sort of lit up the whole room. Everybody wanted to get a picture with him. We sat down at the table. And I want to say, initially, it was a very pleasant dinner. Trump gave kind of the standard black voter pitch. He talked about the HBCUs, the opportunity zones, things like that. And then it turned out that Ye had accidentally sent a text message to a lawyer that both Trump and Ye share, and forward him some intel that Karen gave to us about how we were going to handle the Trump meeting and how to read his body language and the kinds of things that maybe we should avoid or things we might want to say. And so before the dinner, Ye accidentally forwarded that to a lawyer who then in the middle of the dinner apparently called Trump to say, hey, Karen Giorno's involved. This is a setup. You guys are being set up right now. It was really just based on a misunderstanding. And after that call, he...
Well, who's this lawyer?
Do you mind if I say the name?
Yes.
It's... Yes, you mind?
Or? No, I don't.
Okay, it's Nick Gravante. So he was texting me.
I don't mind any names. Okay. I think that's the general gist. So, let him finish the entire story.
So, because we pulled up in the car and Ye said, here, I'll forward you these notes. So he forwarded it to me and I said, hey, I didn't get the text. And we kind of brushed it off, and we found out later he meant to send it to Nicholas Fuentes. He sent it to Nicholas Gravante on accident. So the dinner was actually very pleasant. It was very friendly. Ye picked out a song to play. He put on Say You Will off of 808s. And then Trump said, oh, I don't know, let's put on one of your hits. So he put on Stronger. It was very congenial. Well, then in the middle of the dinner, Trump gets this call because Nick Gravante apparently sent the text to one of Trump's guys or somebody. Somebody called Trump and said Karen is giving Ye intel because Karen worked for Trump. She ran the state of Florida during the Republican primary in 16. And so he got the heads up. They thought it was some big ambush. So he gets off the phone and the tone totally flipped. And he starts telling Ye these stories about how some of his black constituents had betrayed him. He told the story about how he got ASAP Rocky out of jail. He told the story about how he got the NBA basketball players out of the Chinese jail. And the moral of the story was, if you go against me, if you're disloyal to me, I'll crush you. That was kind of the subtext of the stories from Trump. He said that Kim Kardashian, he said some nasty things about her because she endorsed Joe Biden after Trump released, Alice Johnson from prison. He commuted her sentence and then gave her a pardon. So he felt betrayed by that. And then Ye made the proposition and said, hey, I'd like you to be my running mate in 2024. And Trump sort of...
I gave him the opportunity. I didn't say I would like him to. I said, you have the opportunity.
Right, yes.
To be my running mate in 2024.
Yes.
And, would he wear a mask as well, though?
I think it would look cool.
I do think it looks cool. So he sat back and folded his arms and he kind of smirked and he sort of dismissed it. But then he got a little bit heated and he said, you can't win. You'll never win. Don't run. You can win at a lot of things, but you can't win at this. And then he turned to me and Karen and said, you guys are smart. I know you work for him, but don't lie to him. Tell him. Tell him he can't win. And, you know, I love Trump and I love Ye. And so I'm looking at Trump. And then I'm looking at Ye, and I'm looking at Trump, and Ye, he's telling me.
Nick, they say you're a white supremacist. Are you a white supremacist?
No, not at all.
Well, spend some time on that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Catholic. I'm Christian, and so I believe that we
I know
all...
that sounds white supremacist right there, but it's not. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I believe that we're all children of God, and so I think that black, white... red, brown, whatever. We're all siblings in a certain sense because we're created by God. I do, though, believe that there are races. There are black people. There are white people. There are Hispanics. And these differences mean something to people. They mean things to each other. That doesn't mean that we can't get along. That doesn't mean.
But the left saying it's bad to even have a culture. They're saying none of us can be, say I'm this or I'm that.
Right. They want to melt us all down. That's what globalization is. They want to globalize the government, the economy, and the population. They want a global government. They want to globalize the economy through free trade.
With no culture.
Exactly. And the population through immigration. And they want to make it so that in 50, 100 years, there are no distinct nations. There's no distinct peoples. There's
so nobody can stand up to them.
Right. Just a slave class, undifferentiated. That's what they want.
This is the future president you're talking to right now.
Is Nick your running mate?
He's not old enough.
Yeah, Nick, how old are you?
I'm 24. Maybe in a few cycles.
And Trump loved Nick. He looked at me and said, where did you find this kid? He had no idea until, what's the guy that wrote the speech that you didn't like?
Jason Miller.
Jason Miller lied afterwards after they found out who you were. And what did Jason say in the press to start off? Because it started to be like a series of lie after lie after lie and fake. It wasn't a tweet. It was a truth social after truth social after truth social. So give them the rundown on that.
Yeah. So initially, we didn't publish anything about the dinner. It was rumored that Ye went to dinner with Trump. Then it was rumored that I was at the dinner because I walked through the airport in Miami. Then there was a statement from Jason Miller, who spoke as a representative for Trump. And he said, well, Nick Fuentes was not at the dinner. And it was only at that point, which was a lie. It was only at that point when we began to respond, and Ye said, he can't say that. Nick was at the dinner. That was a lie.
But, I mean, I actually like the speeches that Jason Miller wrote. Maybe, I mean, he was just scared.
Who was scared? Trump?
No, I mean, I think Miller, thinking it was a setup, but I mean, I think that's what they thought. They thought, oh, this is a setup. And I think that's where that fear came from.
But, okay, but people got to stop lying. Our leaders, our politicians have to stop being afraid and being so political, and we have to put Christ first. And if anything comes from this, like the best thing that could come from this is I'm the president of the United States in 2024. The worst thing that could come from this is our leaders are held to Christian values, not Zionist values. Now, let's talk about the difference of Trump's truth socials.
Yeah. So he put out three successive posts. There's three responses from Trump on True Social, and they just get more sort of erratic as the pressure grows. You know, the first one, he says, it was a very uneventful dinner. I did meet with Ye. The next post was, I don't know who Nick Fuentes was, and it was totally uneventful. The third one, he says, Ye, a very troubled man who happens to be black, came for badly needed advice. And so it just kept getting more and more sort of angry and erratic. And I think what Ye's getting at, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but Trump is surrounded by handlers. He's surrounded by people like Jared Kushner and Jason Miller. He's got three campaign managers.
Jared Kushner bailed because he got what he wanted out of Trump, right? What did Jared do when Trump was in office?
He got the Abraham Accords. Jared Kushner with his best friend, Bibi Netanyahu, at 666 Fifth Avenue, they brokered the Abraham Accords, which opened up investment from the Gulf states into Israel.
What did Netan have to say about it exactly?
Netanyahu loves it, of course, because this.
But let's expand on that.
I love Jerry. Hey, it's this is Netan.
Okay,
No, keep going. My point is that it's fair, though, for Trump, that is a political attack, to claim that he endorses or represents even the views they claim you hold that you don't hold. So clearly, you can see how the media is using you guys as an attack on Trump.
They're using us to try to put this guy we've never heard of, DeSantis, in office.
Yep.
Like, DeSantis is going to play by the book. The thing about Trump is this guy is one of the best presidents we have. He's top five presidents. He's right there with Ronald Reagan. And he was a Wharton grad. He's one of the best businessmen of all time. And the entire time he was the president, the Jewish media attacked him. They were mad because he was actually working for the country. And now they're doing everything, including this meeting, to try to say he's not allowed to meet with. This is InfoWars. Who are you to say who the president can meet with, Netanyahu? Like, I'm not gonna, the Holy Spirit fills me up, and the less sin I have, the less angry I get, you know? So you can't make me angry, but if I was another version of Ye, the Kanye West that you guys know, I would be angry at Netan for even speaking on one of the best presidents, one of our best presidents of all times. Shut the bless up, Netan. This is from Ye. Now you know who I am. Do you know who I am now, Netanyahu? You know who I am now, Jared Kushner? You know who I am, Josh Kushner? Let me tell you something about Softy Josh, right? Marshmallow Josh was at a dinner. I'm at Jared's house, Jared and Ivanka's house. And I didn't realize at the dinner that Josh Kushner had 10% of Skims, which was my ex-wife's clothing line, which I have 5% of. And it's one of the reasons why, even after the attack where Ari Emanuel had all of my deals destroyed, I was still worth $400 million, right? And still had $250 million of cash available, right? So, Josh, I say, what do you think about Jared working for me in 2024? And Josh looks at Jared and says, oh, I would kill him. And so then towards the end of the meeting, I'm leaving their apartment. They do like a soft hug because I think like Jared, as soft as Jared is, he has to hug Josh extra soft so, you know, he doesn't melt like toilet paper. And what I realized afterwards that Josh had 10% of a line that I only had 5%, double where I, you know, Skims is an extension of Yeezy. It's an extension of my brand. Literally, I put the creative director from Yeezy at Skims because at first Skims was a lingerie line. And then it was Kris Jenner's idea to make it a shapewear line. And I said, I have the perfect person. Let's take these elements of Yeezy and let's put this here. And then Josh goes in and puts $150 million from some investment firm to then control something that my ex-wife was making for our
children. No, I get it. So you're at this meeting and literally realizing, oh, my God, I own this and ran this. This guy's double what I get. You didn't even know he was the owner.
Yeah, and that's what I explained to Jared. I was on text with Jared. I said, what if I had 10% of a line with Ivanka and you didn't know and you only had 5%. I'm sure you...
But what if he learned you own 10% of 666 Park Avenue? He'd be pissed.
Or what if I had 10% of that 800... How big was the deal that he did after he got out of...
So what you're saying is we need reparations from Hollywood. We need the Hollywood elite that have almost all the money. They need reparations to America.
Wait, I want to talk about how Jared did that first deal.
You hear what I'm saying?
With Netan.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, he got billions. And this is something that was covered in the Wall Street Journal. Jared Kushner brokered the Abraham Accords with Netanyahu. And before Trump was even out of office, they were arranging for how Kushner could take a massive fee from
him. Okay, but separate from Kushner getting money, I don't like Kushner. He glows in the dark. He's creepy as hell. But I mean, that's a good peace deal to get the Arabs and Jews to quit killing each other. I mean,
And I agree with you to some extent, but don't.
I mean, actually, that's a pretty. I said that's something good Kushner did. I mean, I don't like Kushner, but
he
did
it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we got things done. Yeah.
And I would say
I'm not defending him. I'm saying, isn't it good to try to get Middle East peace?
Let's ask Nick.
Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
If you want Middle East peace, you have to go to Israel because Israel is the one who has been bombing Syria. Israel's the one that's.
And they got 200 nuclear weapons. They ain't going nowhere.
Exactly. And that's why they killed JFK and RFK, was because of they were trying to get their WMD program off the ground. Operation Apollo. It was Jack Kennedy that wanted IAEA inspectors looking into it.
No, that is probably one of the main, that's one of the reasons Kennedy got killed. That was
what we need to say right now. And we're going to bring Ali on in a second, is my, both of my parents were educators, right? And we're here as the educators. That's what's in our heart. When we get the information, we put ourselves at risk to give you the information. There's a lot of teachers, incredibly intelligent people that have been canceled and kicked out of universities for not playing along with the system. So stop looking at us like celebrities, like we're trying to get media. We're using our position, putting our finances, putting our personal well-being at risk to say the truth out loud. And I was on the plane with Nick and I said, it feels like we're in Vietnam in the middle of the war with our backs to the wall, holding our guns and saying, you know, Nick, how did you get here? Yay, how did you get here? Well, all the guns are going off and all the media is going off, and say, this is InfoWars, right? So you got some info warriors on both sides of you, and you fought for us. You've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American, because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today. It's like Terminator Part 10 happening right now.
Wow. All right. We got to go to break. We're going to get Laura Loomer on. We're going to get Ali Alexander. I'm demanding him on. Yeah. The smartest guys I know in politics. And we're going to just continue. Owen Schroyer is going to come on. We're going to continue on as long as you guys want to go. We'll take breaks and stuff, too, and get, you know, yay to eat something or whatever. Me and Nick got something he hasn't eaten yet. And we're just...
I stay fasting.
He just... That's right. He won't eat. I'm trying to get him to eat. So I'm like Italian. Manja. So we're going to...
I got to watch my accounts, because they've been frozen by the Jewish banks. So I need to watch my meals.
Well, CNN says white people are evil Nazis, so... I mean, I disagree with both statements, but I get the
Trojan. Yeah, I don't like the word evil next to Nazis. I think we need to look at.
Oh, my goodness. Just because you don't like one group doesn't mean the other. Look,
I love Jewish people, but I also love Nazis.
Oh, man. Well, I have to disagree with that. Hey, but listen, we're going to go to break. I'm the crazy one here. We're all crazy. The whole world's crazy. And the whole power structure's coming down. This is absolutely lit. This is lit. Number one show in the world right now. Everybody's tuned in everywhere. Yay. Everybody, I appreciate you being here. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back and play that little my favorite promo with Yay. And then we're going to air the Trudeau clip and then go right back to Yay. Stay with us.
Yay
is in studio. I'm Alex Jones, your host, Nick Fuentes. Ali Alexander, Owen Schroyer are about to join us riding shotgun. Yay doesn't want to wear an earpiece, so he's going to call Laura Loomer.
Live uncut.
Yeah, so we're going to put Laura Loomer on the way. She was originally going to be on earlier. Yay, you're hosting the show. Go ahead.
Laura, can you guys hear Laura on the mic?
What they're doing is they're talking to her out there. I told them 45 minutes ago.
Laura,
so tell
can
her,
you on the mic?
Tell her you're going to call her. They didn't do that because it's such a party.
I can hear you.
Can you guys hear her? Laura, say something.
She's not going
to. Laura Loomer.
Yeah, Laura, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How's it going?
You're on the air with Yay. Go ahead. He wants to do it over his speakerphone. Go ahead.
Well, look, I just wanted to call in. You know, I see that everybody on this stream has been canceled in some fashion, and... You know, I've also been canceled, and, you know, I have a unique perspective because I'm Jewish, and I happen to be one of the most banned and censored people in this country. And so, I just wanted to talk about cancel culture and, the act of debanking and deplatforming from my perspective, because, I was really one of the first people that experienced all of this cancel culture. And I would just say that, I can sympathize with anybody who's had their voice silenced. I don't think that censorship is the answer, no matter how much you disagree with another person or how offensive you may find their statements or their arguments to be. And what we need in this country is more free speech. And I say that you know, as a Jewish American woman watching this dream and, you know, watching the plague of cancel culture that has really swept not just our country, but the entire world over these last few years. And I will say that being Jewish has never saved me from being canceled. It never stopped the banks from shutting down my access to my bank account. Being Jewish never prevented me from becoming, like I said, the most banned woman in the world. So I just wanted to make it clear that, while, there's no disputing the fact that groups like the ADL and AIPAC and, powerful, left-wing Jewish individuals, and in some cases, right-wing Jewish individuals themselves are advocating for cancel culture, there are Jews themselves who have also been canceled.
Yeah, you shouldn't be penalized for what other people have done. Martin Luther King said that, and I agree with it. So, yeah, you called yourself more like Martin Luther King the other day than Malcolm X. I tend to agree with that. I like Malcolm X. I've read his writings, listened to him, incredibly smart intellectual. He was downtrodden. He was telling people to stand up. He was an amazing revolutionary for his time, an amazing man. But I think Martin Luther King was more powerful, and even Malcolm came around to his worldview of thinking. So my issue is, it's the same thing we're talking about here, is that Laura Loomer has been censored. Laura Loomer has been attacked, and Israel has the most draconian COVID shots against their population of any group. So I'm saying, why aren't they exempt? Because there's a criminal group posing as them. Christ talked about this. That is trying to manipulate and pose as the leadership of every group. There's groups that claim they lead the black folks that aren't caring about blacks. There's groups that claim they care about white people that aren't really caring. There's groups that claim they're Jewish that don't. I think that's really what we're talking about. Do you disagree?
I agree. And as I think about it, I got to say, I love the Zionist. I love the people that blocked my bank account, because God runs the world and uses everyone. There's a power structure under God that starts with the 1,000-year-old family, such as the Medicis. Then it goes to the Vatican, which is in bloodline to Peter, not Paul. Then it goes to the financial groups, BlackRock, Vanguard, and then to the governments, where we can go into Putin territory. And then it goes to Hollywood, the Rahm Emanuel. That is the first smokescreen to get past. And we're just breaking down those smokescreens. Hey, Ari, how you doing, Ari?
Hey, I want to jump in really quick, and I will say.
Yeah, Laura, you're on the air.
Go ahead.
The blacklisting of, people like Ye, people like Alex Jones, people like Nick Fuentes, people like myself, everybody watching should understand we're living in a dangerous time now where people are being shut down and having their money frozen. Okay, imagine not being able to access your bank account because somebody in a boardroom decides that they don't agree with what you're saying. And so, for people who are critical, of Ye, Nick, Alex, myself, or whoever, right? Just think of how fast the tables could turn. And I think this is what you've been talking about for years, Alex. You've been warning people about what's coming for years. And now people want to act like, oh, well, how did we get to this point? Censorship is the reason why we've got to this point. Okay, so, these things wouldn't be happening if people weren't being censored.
Well, sure, Laura, can I ask you this question? Because, you're a smart, successful pro-America Jewish lady that's an American that lives in Florida. From my experience studying what goes on in politics, aren't Jews like everybody else, like left-wing, right-wing, and different factions fighting with each other and everybody else, like any other group? I mean, I understand there's powerful groups in Hollywood and all these mafias, but it's like we don't blame Italians for the Italian mafia. And when I criticize the Jewish mafia, which is one of the most powerful in the world, which I don't like, I don't dislike because they happen to be Jewish, happen because they're a mafia. That's really how I think we destigmatize it and just say no to the mafia that is the ADL in Hollywood. Or do you disagree with that or agree? Or you want to say something?
There's factions within any group, all right? I don't think that you can really generalize any group. I think that when you look at the demographics of Jews in America, over 73% of Jews vote Democrat. And so when you see a lot of, people making decisions who happen to be Jewish, it's coming from a left-wing perspective. But I'm a nationalist. I'm a nationalist, and I'm Jewish, and I've been a very strong supporter of President Trump.
And that's the question. Why were they so scared of you? Because you've been as much banned as me or even more. I mean, they have come after you. Why are they scared of Laura Loomer?
Because I'm a free speech absolutist, and regardless of what somebody may say, even whatever they may say about Jews or whatever they may have to say about Israel, Nazism. I'm not going to advocate for anybody to be silenced, anybody to be banned, or anybody to have their accounts shut down or their money frozen simply because of their viewpoints. This is America, and we need to promote free speech absolutism, and we need our politicians to start promoting free speech absolutism. And this is what I ran when I ran for Congress twice in Florida, the first time in Trump's home district, which was actually the most Jewish district in the country, and then most recently in District 11. You know, I ran on a campaign of free speech absolutism.
No, I know you do. So what about a First Amendment or a Bill of Rights party, you know, that could transcend party lines? What about a free speech pro to self-defense, a First Amendment, Second Amendment party? I mean, how do we fix this, Ye?
We fix this with the word of Christ. The first book of Moses called Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's where we start.
And they know that. That's why Prometheus shows that. All right, Laura, thank you so much. Thank you. Closing comments or yay? I want to move on to
Laura,
Ollie. And
thank you very much for calling in. Talk later. Thanks a lot.
All right. So good. That's good. Great. Nick, I'll see you in Florida. You want to say something before we go to Ollie, Alexander, and Owen?
Yeah, I want to jump in and say that I agree. I think, though, that it's not so much about the Bill of Rights. I think it's really more about Christianity. I think that what America needs is a Christian party.
Oh, I agree. Politically, it's about our freedoms. But you're right. Christ is first.
Right. And it gets to the nature of Judaism, which is the fact that Jews do not believe that Christ was the Son of God. And in fact, they're the only group that hate Jesus. Muslims see Jesus as a prophet. Buddhists, Hindus see Jesus as a spiritual figure. Jews write in their Talmud that Christ is burning in hell. They don't like the cross.
Well, I think that's because he's kind of was taking over the thing. So at the end of the day, we worship a Jew, or we say he's not really a Jew.
It's not the same thing, though, because the kind of Judaism that we have now is not of the Old Testament. It's of the rabbinical oral tradition. So these people are worshiping.
They're right. They're not following the Old Testament. They're following the Zohar and the Talmud and all that.
That's right. Exactly.
People should read that for themselves. What about Haile Selassie? Because this is what happened to Kyrie Irving, and it made me really mad because when I was a kid growing up reading comic books and stuff, I could read really early. When I was like 5, I could read like a 10-year-old. When I was 10, I could read like a college student. And so I put down comic books when I was about 8 because my mom had all these history books. And some of them were picture history books that I started reading those. And it's like a fact that Solomon married a bunch of black women. It's a fact that Ethiopia was Jewish. It's a fact that North Africa was Jewish. It's a fact that went on. And then Kyrie Irving puts out a video explaining that a bunch of North African blacks are intermarried and part Jewish. And Israel lets a bunch of blacks in because they can prove that their lineage, their names are Jewish names. So how is it anti-Semitic? And how does the ADL say it's anti-Semitic for black people who are related directly to King Solomon and King David, the line of Judah, which Haile Selassie was the leader of Ethiopia? That's where this whole movement comes from. To act like they don't know this. I'm not blaming Jews for this. I'm blaming the leftist ADL. To deny black Jews their heritage is a historic fraud. It's a damn historic fact. It's on Wikipedia. It's not even debated.
It's true, but it's not just the leftists. It's the right-wing ones, too, you know, because in Israel, Ye was just showing me a clip the other day where they are racist towards the Sudanese or Ethiopian black Jews that immigrate into Israel. They kick them out. There's quotas.
Well, I mean, Israel's even mean to the Hasidic Jews now. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're waging war.
Right. So, and I agree with you. And what they've done to Kyrie Irving is just disgusting.
Hey, Dr. Zelenko, beautiful person, wonderful guy. Mm. He'll tell you. He goes, yeah, that's what runs Israel's evil, and so is your groups.
Ben Shapiro just mad that Kyrie won't sign his basketball. Back to you, Nick.
So, but what about that issue? I'm sure you know about Haile Selassie and Kyrie Irving. Your take on Kyrie?
That's my brother. And I love the fact that just like now, it felt like you were in this battle by yourself, but now you got two warriors alongside of you, like gargoyles at the top of the buildings in New York, ready to fight for Christ. And when Kyrie put up that information, they always want to write me off and say, yay, it's just so crazy, so crazy, so crazy. And then Kyrie was like, okay, here goes some information right here. Information is the unlock. There's five elements that the 1%, the elites, use to control the 99%, which are the masses. Those elements are water, food, shelter, medicine, education. Which one of those five elements are the most important? Education. Because with the knowledge, you can go get water, you can go get food, you can get shelter, and you can get medication.
They don't want independence.
Right. I agree. And Kyrie fought for something. And then also, you know, for me, Kyrie, I love Kyrie. He did what his job was. They had the Hebrew Israelites in front of the game. And now the high schools, I always think about the high schools. I always think about the future, the grammar schools, the high schools. These are the people that are going to change our lives. So the high schools are asking questions. People are running around saying, oh, Ye's racist. What is the term racism was created? And I think the construct of racism was created.
The communist Russians.
Yeah. And it's like the whole woke culture, the idea the white man did this, the Jewish guy did this. Now, I'm saying specifically the bankers. I think my misstep in the tweet was to pinpoint a people as opposed to pinpointing the devil and the fact that the devil used to have that. But more than that, it was my disobedience to God that forced me into the whale's stomach as I am right now. But it's only my obedience to God that's going to bring me out of the whale's stomach.
Well, let's elaborate. You're not walking back what you said. You are clarifying it, which is key. It's evil in the hearts of men and women that's a problem. And so you're not walking it back. You're clarifying. This is big.
Let's clarify. Satan, the angel, God's one of his favorite angels, one of the most powerful angels.
The most powerful.
Yeah. Satan. That's what I like. The most powerful angel, Satan. And he brought angels with him when he left heaven, right? How many angels did Satan bring with him?
33% of them. So he brought billions of angels with him.
So angels, I mean, Satan has 33% of God's warriors with him working for Satan. But God runs the world. And it's Satan that gets inside of the Zionists and makes them do evil things. But these are stories because I'm a baby Christian, right? But I heard that, you know, God loves me so much. He loves me so much, right? Then I go to Drink Champs and I'm drinking. And the Bible says king don't drink, right? I noticed that, Milo. I know I'm not saying it in correct, perfect English, but the Bible says king don't drink. And I'm drinking and I'm smoking and I'm using my ego because I'm tired of these like fed.
You're like, I'm lit. I'm lit.
Let me say, I'm tired of these fed celebrities trying to pick on me, thinking that they gangster. We not in high school, Meek Mills. We not in high school, Puff Daddy. And everyone thinks that they're so much more gangster, like they got me in some way. Ain't none of y'all more gangster than God, and God got me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying that.
Oh, no. Everybody pose and act tough is nothing. If you talk about rebel black sheep, yeah. I mean, you're definitely it, buddy.
Yeah, y'all not tough to me. But I'm drinking, and then I start saying stuff that doesn't please God, right? It wasn't the Zionists. It wasn't the banks. It's God set me back. But the fact that I still had $400 million and Forbes couldn't get around it, it showed God loves me, but he had to set me back a little.
Well, it's a Jobian proverb. You're going through a Jobian trial.
Yeah, because since I lost my wife, right, since I lost my family and I was no longer the priest right in the middle of that home and I didn't have the say so over the content that my kids watch and what they wore and where they went to school and how we went to church and what they ate, I was frustrated and I let the devil come and get me. I let the devil pull me in. Next thing you know, I'm at New Year's Eve parties having threesomes. I'm like, God was so mad at me. He said, I empowered you. I gave you every skill set. You're like Moses. You saved Caesar's life in battle twice. You know, you might stutter. You might not be the best communicator, but you're a leader, yay. And you're down there. You're not representing me. You're drinking. You're having sex. And you know what? And God, he waited on me. He let me go, you know, 8 months into the year. But it wasn't until I bragged about serving Satan with the actions that God said, I got to set you back now and set you straight. And then, so we're moving my school. We're moving the Donda Theology Engineering University into a church. And we were there talking with the pastor. And then a homeless gentleman came in and was talking to us. And I said, is this a plant? I don't know. But this is the greatest theologist that I've met. And I had him come to a Bible study. We were working on the walk to the house. I don't like to call it a campaign. We're working to the walk.
Yeah, hold on. This is a hard break at the end of the hour. Stations rejoin us. I skipped the other break. We got to have this. We're back in 2 minutes. We got to do this hard break. And I asked, you want to put a website out where people can actually hear what you have to say?
I want you to remind me what I'm saying so I can give this explanation.
No, you told me on the phone the story.
I need to tell the people, though.
No, you will. I'm going to remember. It's the amazing homeless guy comes in.
Yeah.
And he gives you this incredible word. All right.
I don't care about the website. I care about Jesus Christ and people knowing that.
I get it. But they also got to know where to actually find what you're actually saying.
No, the only place to find it is in the Bible. My website is the Bible.
Nick, where do people find what you're doing?
Cozy.tv/Nick and the Bible.
All right. I'm just trying to all right. Hey, it's all about free speech. We'll be right back. Hour number three with Yay and so many more. And we've got Owen Schroyer and Ollie Alexander loaded, ready to go in the other studio. 10 feet through that wall. So they're coming up. Hour number three of the most banned broadcast in the world. Straight ahead. Against myself and Tucker Carlson everywhere, every day. Jones admits he's an actor. Or Tucker Carlson says nobody would take me seriously. Where do we say that? We never said that. They just say we said that. But where's the clip? Where's the article? Where do we say that? Doesn't exist.
Alex Jones is playing a character and is a performance artist.
Jones is playing a character on his radio show.
The radio rants of Alex Jones are just an act.
He's actually a performance artist.
He's a performance artist. Alex Jones is a fake.
They're lying to you because they think you're stupid. And it's all based on a custody battle with my ex-wife 5 years ago. And she was trying to put into evidence me dressed up more than a decade before, like the Joker, being sarcastic, saying, take your Prozac, kids, take your illegal drugs, too. You'll die. It's fun. So people wouldn't take drugs. And they wanted to enter that in evidence. They look, he's insane, telling kids to use drugs. And my lawyer went, when Jack Nicholson plays the part of the Joker, no one thinks that's really Jack Nicholson. So, yeah, when I've been Cobra Commander.
Hail Cobra!
Or Optimus Prime.
Autobots, let's roll.
Or the Joker, because I can do imitations of them all really good. Or Darth Vader.
Don't act so surprised, globalist. You didn't think you could silence the American people, did you?
Do I really think I'm Darth Vader? No. Do I think I'm Optimus Prime? Cobra Commander, the Joker? No. And clearly, no reasonable person would think when I'm doing satire that what I'm saying is what I really think. No one believes the Babylon Bee. It's not trying to lie to you. It's being sarcastic.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
But they play those games. And that's why I don't joke around as much as I used to. Even though I tell people, okay, this is a joke, this isn't serious, they clip it out and they say, no, this is what he really believes.
Every day when I leave work, I do this.
That man's a threat to this country. And they go, look, he admitted in court he's an actor. Well, yeah, I was an actor in Scanner Darkly. I was an actor in Waking Life. I was an actor when I was Cobra Commander. But it doesn't mean that Alex Jones, the talk show host, up here reading news articles to you, isn't a real thing and isn't something I'm actually saying. And you know that. You're insulted right now. I'm even explaining that to you. And so am I. But that's who these people are.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Am I really Darth Vader?
I think Alex Jones seems really talented. He's smart. He's funny as hell. He's truly funny.
I'm kind of retarded.
Now that I've done those imitations, those little jokes, do you now not listen to what I say about other things when I show you a powerful news article by Dr. Joseph Mercola on Infowars.com that has all the side information, the latest tragedy, sudden adult death syndrome? No, that's a real thing. That's something happening in the real world. And that's what we're breaking down here today. I am Alex Jones, and I am the guy on this show every day. I am an American, and that's what I promote, is freedom and justice and liberty, and they can't stand it.
InfoWars has been banned. Arrested. Attacked and threatened. Because we are effective. The Great Awakening is here. Go to band.video. Download the videos and share. Support the information war at InfoWarsStore.com. And never give up the fight.
Don't give up the fight!
Well, Ye's got his mask. He's a superhero. I represent the bad guys. David Icke's little reptoids. So, now your enemy's in here hosting the show with you, Ye. We got Nick Fuentes, one of my best buddies. He works for us, does a really good job. He's over there with us. Oh, now he's turning to Alex Jones. So what are we going to do here? Ye, the Balenciaga situation. You made a great point during a break earlier about how they just need a new devil. But that's a devil to distract us from the fact that we become the devil. And that's kind of what you said. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I just saw people making videos about it. And I said, it just seems like it's just more noise and mayhem and code red and things to get people outraged. As I said before, every form of pornography is only one, is only 10 years away from pedophilia. Anybody that's watching pornography, if you're watching a woman have sex on camera, she's reliving the trauma of being molested. Like a greater majority of women that end up being strippers, prostitutes, or pornographers, adult film stars, have gone through the trauma
of experiencing
pedophilia. But sex is a legal drug that's pushed to destroy humanity. If you drive down the street in California, they will be pushing strip clubs, they're pushing alcohol, they're pushing sex. So for people to have this moral code about pedophilia, but no moral code about strip clubs, pornography, and the sex industry, it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that all of that is wrong. So Jesus said so, or Jesus said no. That's when we just need to
follow. So let me ask you this. What about world population? The globalists say there's too many people. They want to sterilize us. They want to promote transgenderism. They want to depopulate us. Do you think that that's accurate? Or, what do you think of the New World Order and its overall agenda?
I believe so. I'm more of a gut feeling person. Like I said, I'm the battering ram, and you guys are the SWAT team to come in afterwards and then give the information. God has people, different kind of warriors, different heights, different mindsets, different colors, and our collective agenda needs to be to serve God in what we do.
And we can't do that if we don't have a hope and free debate.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
We can't do that if we don't have an open, free debate.
And that's what we have. God brought us here. You created this platform, the InfoWars. I heard about the legend of Alex Jones from this lady named Tracy Romulus, Tracy Gwynn, who is faking like a Christian, is really, you know what? Much love to Tracy Romulus and Tracy Gwynn, because this is the type of person I will sue. I'm just going to say I prefer that person not be next to my children. So much love, and Jesus, God bless your family. I would prefer that that person be not next to my children. Next person, next subject.
Balenciaga, though, you were going to, I mean, just overall, what do you, because obviously you were with a lot of fashion brands. Now the stuff's come out. It's almost like they did this on purpose as a PR stunt.
I think so. You know, I'm friends with the head designer, and I believe that it was a setup. I think it was a hit job. And now all of a sudden, everyone is so outraged and focused on Balenciaga, but then we're still aborting our kids. We're still fornicating. We're still killing each other. We're still listening to music that promotes that. But, oh, we don't wear Balenciaga now.
That promote that?
You shut the hell up. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day,
What are you doing? You're throwing stones. Oh, my God. But, you know, our moral code, we just cheated on our wives. We just fornicated. We just had threesomes. We just bought some sex on Instagram. We just sold some sex. We use sex to sell a product, but we don't like Balenciaga. Shut up. Shut up. I'm throwing the tablets right now. Shut up. Instagram is about prostitution, and everyone involved in any version of the sex business is as bad as the pedophiles. So everyone, shut up. Yeah.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
So think of all the thousands of topics we can cover in the limited time we have as you're about to get on a plane and go back to another state and do some new stuff. What else is on your radar? Because there's a lot. What do you think about the Ukraine war? What do you think about the devaluation of the dollar? What do you think about FTX and Bitcoin? I mean, there's so many topics.
Nick?
Well, yeah, in terms of Ukraine and Russia, I haven't really seen so much of that in the news. I'm, of course, pro-Putin. I'm very pro-Russia.
I am also.
Let's go. Yeah. You know, you see that this is just an extension of the United States neocon establishment, New World Order type stuff.
What does Putin say about America's value system?
So he said in a speech when he annexed those two breakaway provinces and he annexed the Donbass, he said in a speech that we have totally abandoned traditional values, traditional faith, and that we've actually embraced full-on Satanism. And he's totally right. And
well, that's true. America's embracing Satanism.
Yeah. But
Jesus is alive. And yes, these things are going to pull. It's a movement. God, the devil is a defeated foe. We're not even going to speak any of that into existence. God runs the world, and it's freedom fighters for Christ like us today that are going to stop it right now and say, we got to start here. Each one of us, we are the church. We are the priests of our homes. All the men's are the priests of the homes, and everyone is the body of Christ. And we start here. Sin, it's like we're a glass of water, and sin is like throwing acid and used plastic and stepped on bugs in a glass. And then you want to pour some water in, and it tastes bad. So what you want to cover it with an alcohol flavor or with some food coloring or with a sexy outfit or something. And then you want to just keep on drinking that sin and not understand why your stomach is hurting in the morning. And I know as a recovering alcoholic that, you know, a cure for a hangover is another drink. And that's basically what we've been doing. We're all orphans.
Keep doubling down.
We're orphans of capitalism. So when we talk about the ideas that we have for the newer version, the amended constitution that me and Nick are rewriting and working on right now, and the ideas of purifying our system because we need will and expertise.
Well, let's talk about that. You say you're going to run for president 2024.
I'm not, you know, Alex, you're really good at stating things in a way that gets you sued. So.
No, I thought you're announcing for president, right?
No, I'm not announcing. Alex, love you, love you, love you. What I'm saying with the conversation that we're having about a possible 2024 walk and a victory at the office, America, I'm putting everything on the line for the truth to bring you a cleaner system. Our system has been dirtied and muddied and destroyed. I am not the oldest, I am not the most knowledgeable Christian, and I'm not the most knowledgeable politician, but I am truthful. I'm nobody's heart.
No, I believe that what I was trying to get to is, what is your platform? And you texted me your platform. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, it starts here with the Bible, and we're going to work through this with our designers. We're going to approach America like Steve Jobs approached Apple. We are the youngest startup in history, but we're the world power because of our military and mainly because of our naval force. And it shows how smart and how powerful Americans are. The engineering, the sheer engineering. We invented Apple. We have the strongest military. And now we have to take that same type of sensibility, take it out of Wall Street's hands and give it to the people. That engineering mind that created the trams, that made Disney, that made Pixar, that made Lucasfilms, that made Apple, that engineering mind, these minds that we have are going to be brought together to cure America. And then we will influence the rest of the world into higher consciousness and into peace.
And I agree. We were given that birthright and somehow it's been lost. I want to talk about that. And after you leave soon, We're going to have Owen and everybody else and myself stay here and continue on and take calls. And as long as you can stay, I know you got to go soon. But I wanted to bring in Owen Schroeder and Ollie Alexander, who helped get you here, for their take and any questions they've got for Ye, because you guys have great questions, great comments. So Owen Schroeder and Ollie Alexander.
I'll hold my questions for Ye later, because I kind of want to come in because we have a lot of eyes on this transmission right now. And there's a lot of people sharing their opinions on the internet with this right now. And so I kind of just want to, you know, I just want to take a step back and just say, look, we're in a difficult realm with what we're doing here today, trying to balance fun and seriousness, because we are serious people. We have serious missions and goals, but we also want to have fun. We don't want to hate life. We want to enjoy life, and we want other people to enjoy life. And when I see the response on the internet from the haters and the people getting angry today, I'm just a little perturbed. Let Ye speak. Let the man speak. You may not agree with what he has to say, but why don't you want him to speak? I don't get it. Same thing with Alex Jones. Why don't you want Alex to speak? What is wrong with you? Why are you so angry? Why are you so serious all the time? If you don't like what they say, tune it out. But here's what gets me, Alex. This is what bothers me. It's bothered me with the attacks on you over the years. It bothers me with the attacks we see on Ye today. Whether you agree with everything he said or disagree with everything he said, let's get our priorities straight here, okay? If you're upset with what Kanye West has said today, let me remind you that Kanye West, excuse me, Ye. Yeah. Let me correct that. Ye. If you're upset with anything Ye has said here today, Ye is not the person in Chicago shooting people every night, teenagers, innocent people dying. Ye is not the person in D.C. in Congress selling this country out for decades. Ye is not the person with Big Pharma that's killed millions of people with their products. It's all come out in court. That still has influence to mandate their products on the people. That's not Ye. Ye is not the one that's lying us into wars where millions of people die and trillions get spent. So for all the backlash, all the huffing and puffing that we're going to see from this interview in the next 48 hours, you're all clowns. You're all clowns. If this interview upsets you, your priorities are so out of whack. And I don't even think you have the capability to enjoy life anymore. And you need to take a serious look and reflection in the
mirror. They're against free will. They're against free open discussion, which shows they're evil. And anyone going along with censoring somebody's speech is a fraud and an enemy of the people.
But the people are not evil. It's Satan that controls the people and puts demonic blocks. You see the truth in front of you, you can't even hold the truth. It's demonic blocks. I can go to Kim and say, hey, put your family first. You have someone who loves you. Put us first. Put your children first. And it's demonic blocks bringing her into traumatic, everything. She was pushing to the sex tape. She's pushing to saying that she had sex with Pete Davidson in front of a fireplace. Hulu does not love you, Kim. Disney does not love you, Kim. Come home, Kim. Come home to Christ. Go to God. Go to Jesus, because you saying you might not ever... Or marry somebody. Great. Go marry Tom Brady, whatever you want to do. But get married and use your platform as an influence to keep families together. Don't let the devil use you. And those people that are out there mad at the ability for us to say things, for consciousness, I have to think, okay, White Lives Matter. I'm going to do a T-shirt. I'm going to make it. You understand? Woke culture is controlled by the Zionist media, making people mad, outraged, going out the street. We're so outraged. But you're not doing anything yourself to change it and follow God and follow Christ. We haven't said anything against the word of God today. God says love everyone. So if I say I love the Zionists that cancel my account, then I can say I do love Hitler. I do love the Zionists. I love everyone. The Zionists. Zionists cannot tell me who I can love and not love. I don't think like that. I think more like someone that's on the spectrum, since that's what they want to claim. Well, let me be on the spectrum of love, because love.
But that's a good T-shirt. I love Hitler.
That's a bar. That's a bar.
I'm joking.
Well, and I think
go ahead.
I love Zionists too. Oh, sorry.
I love Zionists. We love everyone.
You're just saying love humanity and stop getting past the labels.
Love is the key. Everyone's promoting this loathing, and it's time to promote love. God.
No, I hear you. Let's bring in Ollie Alexander, who helped get this done. Ollie, I've known you for years, but this is quite the broadcast. This is definitely, so far in 2022, the biggest broadcast of the year. This is it.
Yeah, don't put this on me, Ricky Bobby.
That's right. Ahead, if you're not first, you're last. Come on, Ali, you're on air. Give us your take on this.
No, no, I mean, I this is great. Look, I love everybody on screen, and I love them, and I like them, and I endorse them. And I think that what Owen said is absolutely right. Is like, you can look at this interview, and you can be triggered. You know, you can engage your ego and say, Ye endorsed genocide when he didn't. You can look at this broadcast and say, Nicholas Fuentes is a 23, 24-year-old, you know, secret dog-whistling KKK Nazi. But that's also not the case. You could say that Alex Jones and Owen Schroyer are actually platforming hate, but that's not what's going on at all. And I think what's powerful about this broadcast, I really think that we're making narrative history, is that we're breaking the Overton window. The Republican establishment sold us out. The conservative movement sold us out. The churches, they closed. So when we looked for leadership on the right, there was none. Okay, when Owen Schroyer got charged, when Ollie Alexander got sued and investigated, Alex, when you got sued, did we get a call from Mar-a-Lago saying, hey, I'm a billionaire and I want to help fund what you guys have been through for me? No, we didn't. So here we are left with the last option on InfoWars, the home of the resistance. And we're a bunch of pseudo celebrities with one celebrity saying, okay, well, then we're just going to break the...